Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope things are amazing for you. I've got to pause for a second to say hello to some amazing people down in Marion County, down in Buena Vista. Miss Wanda Jones and my good friend Charlie Jones, I pray that you guys are doing well down there. They're such amazing folks and doing a lot of awesome work down there in Buena Vista. Also want to give a shout out to my boy Clifton Holloman. Clifton Holloman, my man, I hope you're doing well. God bless you, my brother. Just you know, stay in the fight, stay strong. My mayor down there in Buena Vista, Kevin Brown, my friend, I hope that you're doing well as well. And God bless you, my friend, as well. And so we're going to move on with today's show. As you guys been listening throughout the week, you know, I've been talking about certain things that are transpiring this month, things that we are acknowledging as a community and highlighting to raise awareness and other things of that nature about these particular items. And one was domestic violence. We talked about that earlier, but October is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, you've heard my story before with my mom. And so, you know, this particular month here, it hits home for me. And certainly one that stands out when October comes around. And this month is also my mom's birthday month. And so that's very important. But just, you know, a few things that you may not be aware of. Well, before I get into this, let me say one thing. Let me get yourself together today, Teddy. Let's get all self together. One, early voting is still going on. We have seen some tremendous turnout so far with early voting. This is by far one of the most important elections in our lifetimes, you guys. So let's make sure that we are out there voting. Let's make sure that we are supporting people that are in line voting. But again, I want to go back here to Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're going to talk a little bit with some guests today about their journey with breast cancer and how it impacted them and their families. But before I get in with the first guest, I there are a few things I do want you to be aware of. About 1 in 8 U.S. women, that's roughly 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. 1 in 8 women. Think about that. Many of you, if you think about the women in your family, your aunties, your cousins, your siblings, your sisters, you can come up with possibly 8 people. Statistically, one of them may develop some form of invasive breast cancer. In 2020, an estimated 276,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in women in the United States. That's over 250,000 women are expected to be diagnosed in 2020. About 2,600 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in men in 2020. I know when we think about breast cancer, we think about women. Of course, it impacts women at a much, much, much larger percentage. However, the possibility of a man developing breast cancer is still there. And this year, it is expected that over 2,600 men will develop invasive breast cancer. About 42,000 women in the United States are expected to die in 2020 from breast cancer. 42,000 women are expected to die from breast cancer. Death rates have been steady in women under 50 since 2007, but have continued to drop in women over 50. So under 50 has been steady and steady as far as the number is concerned, but over 50 has been dropping. And a lot of that is due to things like Breast Cancer Awareness Month, where we are having this public conversation about something that women used to have, you know, in the secrecy of their home, because, you know, it was something that we weren't prepared to talk about as a society. You know how we as a community, as a culture, especially African-Americans, we have these things in our families that we try to keep secret. We don't want nobody to know. And, you know, that type of attitude toward things have caused us to suffer more than what we should have. And so now I am excited every October to see even people like the NFL and some high school teams wearing their pink socks and their pink gloves highlighting breast cancer awareness. And any lady, any woman out there who has ever dealt with breast cancer or you're dealing with it now, we want you to know we do this for you because we are behind you 100%. We are fighting with you and we are standing there with you. This month as well, make sure you look out for all the activities that will be going on with Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You've probably heard some of our radio spots from Cheryl Johnson with the West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition. Every year they have the Paint the Town Peak and other opportunities for people to donate to the breast cancer cause. And those funds go to help people right here in Columbus, Georgia, in the Chattahoochee Valley that may not have the funds to fight this healthcare battle with breast cancer by themselves. You don't have to fight this alone anymore. There's so many of us out there that are here to support you. We stand with you. We're fighting with you. And one day I do believe deep down in my heart that we will eradicate cancer. And cancer will no longer be a problem for us here in the United States. As of January 2020, there are more than 3.5 million women with a history of breast cancer in the United States. And this includes women that are currently being treated. 3.5 million. In women under 45, breast cancer is more common in black women than white women. Overall, black women are more likely to die to breast cancer. And for Asian, Hispanic, and Native American women, the risk of developing and dying from breast cancer is much lower than it is for African American women. As you contemplate on some of those statistics I just provided for you, I do want to go ahead and get my first guest for today to go ahead and jump in here with us and have this conversation with us. And I am excited today and honored to have on the line with me my first guest, Ms. Kimberly Hardrick. How you doing, Kimberly?
I am good. How are you?
Kimberly, I am blessed. God is good. You know, we're just so fortunate to mm-hmm. still be here in the midst of everything that's going on, you know, considering the virus, the COVID-19, and how it's impacting mm-hmm. so many other folks that are just suffering, families just suffering, mm-hmm. losing loved ones. And then if that wasn't enough, we're still dealing with unnecessary crime and murder mm-hmm. in our street. Just again to this past week, another young black female was found shot to death on the sidewalks right mm-hmm. here in our community, right here off of Witten and Rigdon Road. And yep. you know, she was 31 years old. Mm-hmm. I pray for her family. I pray for our community. But I also understand, Kimberly, that our Bible speaks to the fact that prayer without works is faith without works is dead.
Indeed.
So we can pray all we want to. If we're not out here working in these streets to defeat this enemy of crime, black on black crime, you know, one thing, Kimberly, and we're going to get to the breast cancer talk, but I just got to say this. I got to say this, Kimberly. One thing that grind my gears is mm-hmm. when I hear people combat Black Lives Matter with, well, y'all don't say nothing when black people killing black people. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We've been speaking up loud for that for a long time. What we need is the assistance and cooperation from some of our community leaders as well as our elected leaders to make sure we get the resources in here that we need to remove that from our community. If we fix up many of our neighborhoods, then there would be no place for crime. Because those that choose to engage in the crime wouldn't feel like it's a safe harbor for them.
Right.
The broken window theory. You drive through many of our communities, you see so many homes with windows knocked out, doors kicked in. What you think going on in there? They're not in there having revival.
Then too, and like you said, we'll go on to what we told you talking about, but a lot of the recreational centers that we had going on, they have closed those down. Like when I was growing up, we had the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, Lord, now you're speaking.
We had the Boys and Girls Club. We had
The recreational centers in the community, you know, and the way they were effectively closed down is you just basically take money from them outside the budget. But you know who set the budget?
Mm-hmm.
city council. And when the people you elect don't vote the way you need them to vote, when it seems like the community is not being taken care of, what you do? You elect new leaders. And I'm not afraid to say that out loud, because to me it's very simple. You don't like the, what you're getting in the community right now, then elect somebody else who will do better. There are tons of young people that's willing to get out here and fight for our community, fight for the future. Many of them have children that they want to see a better place for. We got to get accustomed to giving them an opportunity, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. We got to get accustomed to that. That's the only way we're going to change our community. But Kimberly, let's get to you. Let's get to you. So you are a breast cancer survivor, right?
Yes.
Take us to
recently I became two times.
Oh, wow. You've had breast cancer twice. Was it in the same breast or was it in a...
So I guess we'll jump into that. So back in 2014, I went to see my GYN doctor, and he did, you know, my exam there. And so he was like, how old are you? And I said, 35. And he said, okay, it's time for you to have a baseline mammogram. And I was like, okay. So I'm thinking this is something that all doctors are doing now, because, you know, women are getting diagnosed at early age. So in my youth, when he did his exam, you know, he examined the breasts and all that. So I never forget, I was October 31st, 2014, I went in for my baseline mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go do this and come on out. So that's what she said. She said, well, go in here, I'll do the exam, and you'll be free to go, and we'll call you if something's going on. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did the exam, and then she was like, I'm going to let the radiologist read this now, because I see something that doesn't sit well with me. I'm looking like, huh? So what may have been only 10 minutes for like hours, just sitting in their room, not knowing what's going on. So he came in, he had both of the images up, and he went over my left breast, and he said, okay, that was fine. The right one is where we're drawing concerns. And so he was showing me all these little spots. And I was like, okay. So he was like, we would have to do a biopsy. I did the biopsy, and it confirmed the first time that I had DCIS, which is meaning it was still in my ducts, but it was borderline breaking out of that. So that's why they, you know, started moving real quick. So December the 10th of 2014, I had a 12 and a half hour procedure. I had two doctors working on me. My oncologist went in and removed all the cancer out of my breast. And then the plastic surgeon started the first phase of the reconstruction process. So that's why that one was so long. That time, because it was still in my ducts and they caught it early, and because I opt to do a bilateral mastectomy, which, for those who don't know that, that's just removing both of your breasts. I didn't have to go through chemo and radiation that time. I just celebrated 5 years survival last December. Who knew that I would have another journey coming up before I hit the 6 year? Wow. The first one, I will say it was a mental thing, because at that time, I believe my twins were getting ready to be juniors. So in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, my twins are at the, you know, the last 2 years of high school. I had another son and I had another daughter. So I'm like, my babies. What's going to happen?
So when they told you about the cancer, that was the first thing that came to mind to you was your children?
My babies.
Wow.
First, I went numb. So when he confirmed that it was cancer,
mm-hmm.
I just went numb. His mouth was moving, but I wasn't even hearing anything. All I heard was cancer, and it's almost like I shed a layer of skin.
Did it ever cross your mind, or did you have an instant thought that maybe this is the way God is going to have me leave Earth?
So, you said maybe the God is what now?
Did you ever think to yourself, maybe this is the way God is going to have me leave the Earth? Or did you thought this was your route to your death?
It did cross my mind, uh-huh. Because that's when I was saying my babies. When I was saying my babies, I'm like, oh my God, who's going to see about them? Who's going to do this?
Wow.
Nobody can't do this like me.
Yeah, yeah.
But then later on, I flipped that, and it was not so why me, it was why not me.
Right. Right.
How did
you find that energy to flip it like that? Like what motivate? How long did that take? Give us some time frame here for you to.
I would say it probably now when they finally told me. Well, go back when they told me that they found something in that right breast, and on my way out the door, I was crying. And I called my mom because my mom lives out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling my mom, and I'm like, Mom, they said it's cancer, and they said it was something in my breast that raised some concern. And, you know, she was like, well, maybe you just have, it's like a mass, you know, something, and they just go remove it. I'm like, I don't know. But then when I had to go back and they actually confirmed it, it was like deja vu again. I'm back crying. I'm going out, calling my mom. So I would say I had to hold it for 2 weeks because my twins' birthday was on, it's November 19th. And I found out on November the 6th. So I held it for 2 weeks. I just tried to keep myself busy because I didn't want to mess up their birthday. So I waited till after that was over with, and I pulled them in the room, and I explained to them what was happening. My son and my youngest daughter took it the hardest. Like, I had to call my mom. I was like, Mom, I need you to talk to them. They were like crying and right here in my lap. I don't know what to say. So she talked to them and calmed them down. So I would say it was probably around maybe Thanksgiving or a little out of Thanksgiving where I got all the human person to me out. Crying and just worrying about this, worrying about that. And I'm the type of person, everybody said I'm hard-headed, I'm stubborn, I'm determined. And I was like, okay, no, this cancer doesn't have me, it has my breast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and once I said that, I just got energy. I got like, and then, once I put it out there for people to know what was going on, the overwhelming response for people, I was like, oh my God, you are so strong. You are my inspiration. And I'm looking at them like, well, you going through something worse than I am. And I'm your inspiration. So at that time, that's when I was like, why not me? I felt like God put me through this, not for me to go through personally,
mm-hmm.
but to be a voice or a visual for somebody else, letting them know, hey, things happen, life happens. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, well, you were going through the treatments and you know, and from talking with my mom, I just know that there were days in which she just did not feel her best because of the effect of the medication. How did you get through those days?
The first time, I didn't have to go through any treatment.
Uh-huh.
Once I was done with that bilateral mastectomy and my reconstruction,
uh-huh.
I was done. And a part of me just, and going, I'm going to go to the second one, but at that time, I was like, there's no follow-up. Like, I did mammograms every year, but I just felt like you get kind of pushed to the side because, oh, it didn't break the tissue. You didn't have to go through this. You didn't have to go through that. So I kind of feel like those patients, well, we get pushed to the side once that part is over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward to now, like I said, I had just celebrated 5 years. I had a little party. I got 5 on it in December the 10th. I had a mammogram this year, May 20th, to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't show any signs of disease on May 20th. We were at my dad's house the end of June, and we was getting ready to leave to go to the store, and I was getting ready to grab my purse handle, and I missed my purse handle and hit myself in the chest. And so, you know, you hit yourself in the chest, you're like, how? And you go back and feel what caused pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt a knot, and I was like, what is this? So I asked my friend, I was like, hey, come here for a second. He's like, what's up? I said, feel right here. I said, don't you feel something? He was like, yes. This was the end of June. My mammogram was on May 20th. So So I called my oncologist here, and I got an appointment. I was like, look, I know it's like, I think it was like Thursday at the time. I said, can y'all please get me in Thursday or Friday morning? And so they got me in Friday morning for me to see him. He felt on it. And then the following week, he did an ultrasound, and the guy was like, yeah, there's a nice guy's mass in there. So I'm like, oh my God, deja vu. I went numb.
So it had developed within 1 month?
Yes.
Wow. What kind of cancer? And, what kind of cancer is it?
Yeah, so at the time I didn't know. So they did the biopsy, and it confirmed that it was cancer. And I'm going to tell you, this time I was devastated because I have done everything that I thought I can do to try to prevent this. I'm about to hit 2 years of no beef or pork. I do more juicing. I was exercising, trying to maintain my weight because obesity can cause a reoccurrence. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I've changed my lifestyle. I'm doing this. And here it is back again. So, I end up going, I get treatments at CTCA in Newnan. I love that place. So when I went to my, consultation there, I found out this time I'm HER2 positive stage two. Meaning last time the tumor was just estrogen related.
Right.
This time my tumor is estrogen and protein related.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Stage two. When my mom found out she had cancer, it was the type that they call inflammatory breast cancer, which is a very aggressive form, and they started at stage four. But thank God they found it extremely early, and so it hadn't had an opportunity to spread. Kimberly, I appreciate you for coming on to share your story. What would you say? Talk to the women that are listening today that may have dealt with breast cancer or may currently be dealing with it. What would you say to them today?
I would tell them it's okay to cry. It's okay to have your moments. That's part of your healing process. Do not hold it in because it will build up, and then that's what depression is setting in, and you do not want that. I tell people all the time that 85% of this journey is your mental, your spiritual. The remaining 15 is the medicine. Because a lot of people go through this, and it's hard. Your body change. Like this time, my hair is out this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your body change. Taste buds are gone.
That's right.
My nose is shedding.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So for a woman, a lot of times when they go through this, they don't feel like a woman.
And my mother's, her skin turned darker.
Yeah, it would do that too.
Yeah, and her.
But I would tell anybody, just stay positive. Find you a hobby. I sell jewelry. So when I'm feeling down, whatever, I'll go to my bin and I'll start putting some jewelry up and posting it. So I'll tell anybody, find you a hobby.
Wow.
An outlet. That will occupy your mind, because the idle mind is not good.
No, it's not.
It's okay to have a support team, but you need to minimize that. You do not need a whole fan base in your circle, your support circle. Now, you still can have people out here that, you know, check on you, but that circle needs to be very, very small.
Right.
And just be prepared. People are going to walk out because they're going to say you're acting funny and you're changing. But I feel like that's God's way. For me, I felt like that was God's way of removing those people who didn't need me any good.
That's right. I
100% agree. And finding somebody you can talk to. There's a lot of people, a lot of women out here who have gone through this and are angry. Some of them are afraid to say something because people are mean.
You know what was so amazing? When I posted that my mom had breast cancer on Facebook, I had so many friends to reach out to me locally and nationally. And there were a number of them who said, hey, my friend, you know, these are guys. My mom went through breast cancer, and I would love for her to have the opportunity to talk to your mother, to provide her with some inspiration. And I connected my mom with some of those women, and I saw that corner turn when she started talking to other women who had survived and was telling her, you can get through this, you can defeat this. And Kimberly, that's why I appreciate you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us today. You are a hero, and we appreciate you. The community loves you. I'm sure you've shared some information today that will be extremely important to someone out there that's going through it with this virus, right? With this cancer right now, that's impacting them, and possibly just, you know, just ready to throw in the towel. But what you said today, it was very much inspirational, and we appreciate that. And you stay strong, and we love you, and just know that you have the entire Chattahoochee Valley behind you. We're rooting for you. We're fighting for you, okay?
Thank you. And just real quick, I would like to say, if anybody that's going through something, it doesn't have to be cancer, going through anything, I'm open. My inbox, my phone goes off all night long. I'm just coming back from my treatment, number three. And I made a post on Facebook today. I kind of made a video of my journey, and my inbox has been blowing up.
So can they find you on Facebook, Kimberly Hardrick?
Kimberly Hardrick.
Okay, Kimberly Hardrick. You can reach.
I will tag you in the post that I made today.
Please.
So you'll have it as well too.
Please.
But yes, I don't care what it is. They can call me, and it's between me and them.
Well, God bless you for providing that opportunity, and I can tell that you will be that motivation that someone out there may desperately need that's listening today. That's looking through Facebook right now to find you, to send you a message. I know it's going to happen. And again, thank you so much, Kimberly. We greatly appreciate you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. All right. So we just had a nice conversation with Kimberly Hardrick, who basically shared her story with us. I wanted you to be able to hear a real story about someone who has gone through this journey. Now I'm going to get someone else on the line with us. Just bear with me one second. I'm actually going to call my mom. My mom and I, we've never spoken publicly about her cancer journey, but I do want her to get in with us here for about 5 minutes and have a quick conversation. Just bear with us. As you have heard this on today's show, we dedicated it to women that have survived breast cancer and wanted to offer motivation to those out there who have gone through it themselves. And as I told you, this month was special for me because my mom, she took that journey herself. So I wanted to get her on the line with us. She's here, Louise Prosser. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful, mother. Thank you so much for joining me. I just had a nice young lady on the line with me prior to. Her name is Kimberly. She talked about her journey with breast cancer. And I know this whole thing came out of the blue with us when we found out that you had breast cancer, and it impacted us in so many different ways. What was your first thoughts when they told you in that doctor's office that it was breast cancer?
My first thought when they told me that I had breast cancer was I wasn't going to be here to be able to see my precious granddaughter grow up to be a beautiful young lady. God changed that, and he fixed it where I am going to be here. Everything is clear on me having it. So that was my first thought. My biggest thought was just thinking about her and the rest of the family, but mostly her.
You know,
my first grandbaby.
I'll never forget the story that you shared with me when you was leaving my house here in Columbus, headed back to Middle Georgia where you live, and you was stopped by the state patrol officer. You were slightly speeding, didn't realize you were speeding. And tell everybody what he did.
He stopped me and he said, "Can I see your driver's license, please?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Young lady, do you know how fast you was going?" I said, "No, sir, because my mind is on. I'm going through a situation. I found out I got cancer and I'm going through this situation, and my mind was just on that." And he said, "Okay, could you give me your insurance card and your driver's license?" I said, "Yes, sir." I gave it to him, and he stood there with it, and he talked to me. He told me it wasn't my choice of stopping. It was by choice God that had him to stop me and give me a clarification to let me know that everything was going to be all right. And I was crying and going on, and he was holding my hand praying, and he was saying, "Everything is going to be all right." He said, "But I want you to slow this car down so you will be okay, and you will be able to see that beautiful baby that you're talking about." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, let me go back in and check your license and your driver's license. I said, and your insurance? I said, yes, sir. And he went back there, and I was just constantly crying. And he went back down the phone on his radio thing, whatever they be doing, and he was constantly working and working. And he came back. He said, could you step out the car for a few minutes? Could you step out the car, please? I said, yes, sir. I said, Lord, this man's going to lock me up, and my son with me can't drive. And when we got back there, he said, step to the back of the car so we won't be in the highway. And he pretty much gave me a sermon on God. It was made, it was by choice that he stopped at me on the way home. It wasn't my choice, me speeding and doing. It was going to happen anyway. That he was supposed to cross my path and tell me that everything was going to be okay. He prayed with me, and he said, he's not trying to be funny or anything, but you're a beautiful young lady. I said, thank you, sir. And we was talking, and he told me, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I done already seen it. God done showed it to me. You're going to be fine. He said, I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'm going to give you a warning. But you was going to 85 on this lady. I said, yes, sir. And we just talked and talked. You know, he just let me know that God, that was going to be in my path anyway. He was going to stop me anyway, no matter what area I was in. He was going to stop me. God had gave him that confirmation to stop me and talk to me to calm my nerves because they was in a wreck.
Now, you know, you and I, we have so many relatives of ours that are in law enforcement. We have a cousin that's a sheriff and cousins that work with the GBI and other law enforcement entities, and we've always supported law enforcement as a family. And cousin that's a judge, that's right. And when you shared that story with me, I thought about what so many of our law enforcement officials go through today because of what's happening nationally. And there's so many amazing law enforcement officials out there. And that State Patrol gentleman, I promise you, we're going to look him up and find him and tell him thank you. And we're still going to do that. But yeah. As your son, your oldest son, it was after that conversation with that State Patrol officer on the side of that highway that I saw you turn around. It's like a championing you just lit up, and you just knew that as long as you fought, as long as you stayed steady, that God was going to see you through this. And it was that confirmation from that State Patrol officer.
Yes.
And I just want to let you know, as we're getting ready to wrap up the show, I just want to let you know that we love you. We are so proud of you. You stood strong. You went through what a lot of women have gone through as far as breast cancer is concerned. But this is the month that everybody come together to let women like you know all over this world that we are behind you 100%. We're fighting with you, and we are going to get rid of cancer one day. Breast cancer. And every other form of cancer. And I can't begin to recount the number of tears that I have cried because of what you had to go through. But you remain that strong mother who raised me by yourself and taught me everything I know. And you continue to be that strong woman. And we love you. Chastity loves you. Catherine loves you. And I want you to continue to be that inspiration and motivation for other women that you talk to that are going through this ordeal. Okay?
Yes.
All right. I love you. You take care, all right?
All right. Love you also.
All right. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We've had an amazing conversation with two women today that have dealt with breast cancer, Kimberly Hardrick, as well as my mother, Louise Prosser. Any woman out there dealing with breast cancer, there are resources. Please take a look at the West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition. You can reach out to them. They can connect you with additional resources. But let's not continue to let's make sure we continue this fight. Let's not let people, especially our women, down. That are going through these troubles, that are taking this journey that God wants them to be on, but he's going to take care of them too. I pray God continue to take care of all of you, and I will see you next week.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.